We won't stand because the verses we're looking at in Proverbs have to do with the subject matter. By the way, seeing the teenagers sing up here, I appreciate them. We have a good group of teens in our church. By the way, you said they're not perfect. I have some in my house. They're not perfect. Their father is, but they're not perfect. Reason they're not perfect is because I'm not perfect, okay? But we have good teenagers. By the way, the problems we have with our teenagers, I'll take over the garbage going on out there any day of the week. And by the way, you know, we have the teen choir starting. When are they singing their first song? When are they singing, Nick? 2 weeks, okay? Not probably. We're going to do it in 2 weeks. Nick just promised. You got that. So next week is the 5th. They're going to sing February 12th, okay? Just put them on the spot right there. But you know, aren't you glad they're learning the songs of God and not some, you know, okay. You know what? If they had rap back when I was a teenager and I was unsaved, I probably could have been a singer. It doesn't take any skill to rap, okay? I got stupid. Let's talk about God. But hey, thank God for the teenagers. And then I think in February, sometime in February, we're starting up the Joy Choir. Okay, that's the children that come. We used to have it. I think it starts like about the Joy Choir either starts at 6:45 or 6:50 for the children, and then we let them go until like 10 minutes into the service practicing, and then they come into the service, and then once every couple months or once every month or so, they'll come into the auditorium and sing for everybody. So that's exciting about them. That's exciting too, and we just want to make sure we're learning the right kind of songs. Okay, let's get back to our series here on Wisdom That Works, Studies in the Book of Proverbs. We're spending a few more weeks on the wise man because that's what Proverbs is all about. Proverbs chapter 1:7, key verse here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We've told you the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. God puts a premium on wisdom. God wants us to have wisdom in our life. It's really not an option. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And I haven't mentioned it, but if you go to the book of James, he says, if any of you ask wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. God wants us to even pray about it. He wants us to have it. And so let's get wisdom. Proverbs is nothing more than an instruction manual for the Christian life. It has nothing to do with your IQ. And just one definition, we'll get into it. Wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth to life. That's all it is. You don't have to be a brain surgeon, which I don't think we have any. You don't have to be a rocket scientist, which I don't think we have any. We just are common people that believe an uncommon book, and we find out what God says, and we do it. All there is to it. And that's wisdom. I'll just mention these to you. You'll see them in your bulletin there. We've already talked about these. I'm just going to read them, and you look at it. Wise person is deeply aware of the fact that they are accountable to God for all they do. All they say, do, and think. The wise person has the ability to get along with people. That takes a lot of us out. The wise person desires wisdom enough to avoid anything that and anyone that will keep them from it. The wise person has a sincere love and appreciation for those who care enough to reprove them. That was last week. The wise person is a blessing to their parents. And then we said the wise person doesn't live for the now. They plan and look ahead. You see the verses there. We explain them. If you weren't here, you can go online and listen to them there. Do it when you're going to bed, and it'll put you to sleep really fast, okay? Let's look at a few new things, okay? This is wisdom. How does a wise person act? What are some things in Proverbs? It tells us that a wise person will do. What are some of the traits? Here we go. Let's continue. Number 7. This is a tough one. The wise person is willing to submit to their authorities, okay? What does he tell in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 1? My son, fear thou the Lord. I fear God. Move on. And the what? King. That's the leader. Okay? And meddle not that with them that are given to change. God wants us to submit to our authorities. You say, but my authority, I understand. By the way, and I'm not being mean here. I pray for him. Believe it or not, it is hard. But I pray for President Obama, and not the way you think I pray for him. Okay, And if I met him, I would be respectful to him. But it's embarrassing if you understand our country at all to have a president that doesn't believe in the Constitution. Okay, that laws are set in states that violate federal laws, and he says we're not gonna enforce them. But I pray for him. Now, you say, well, he's a wicked king. I get it. Now, when they tell us not to do things that are, we'll get more into that in a little bit, but just to throw out there. If they tell us we can't go to church anymore, I ain't listening to him. I'm not going to do it, okay? But that's not what's happening. We don't like it that they tell us that the speed limit's 55 or 65. Okay, we have problems. Just keep the speed limit, all right? That has nothing to do with being right or wrong. But a person in general, we have trouble with authorities. We just live in a society, we don't want to be told what to do by anybody. Well, you know, it's just, you know, I like sports, but, you know, most athletes are uncoachable. My boys will tell you, there's a certain quarterback. I'm not going to tell you who he is. But it's Jay Cutler. Quarterback for the Bears. If my boys are honest and we've watched a Bear game, they'll tell you the same thing. Jay Cutler has immense talent. He's got one of the best arms in the NFL, but he's an average quarterback if you look at his numbers. He throws off of his back. If you don't know anything about football, I used to coach our boys' football team. He throws off of his back foot. When you throw off your back foot, you don't get anything on the football. That's why he throws so many interceptions. That should have been coached out of him when he was a kid. You know what the knock's always been on him? He doesn't listen to the coach. You can see it in just the very way he throws the ball, that he wouldn't listen to anybody growing up. Now, maybe I'm judging him. If I am, he's still a bad quarterback. The sad thing is that's just a stupid game. Some people live their whole lives like that. They have bad little traits in their life, and they wouldn't listen growing up to their parents. And then, you know, God has a sense of humor, but God also tries to help us. I think God puts us in places where he's trying to get us to learn how to listen to authority. Because if we won't listen to human authority that we genuinely have, we don't listen to God. We don't. A person who's rebellious is just rebellious. Are you with me on that one? You know what's going to happen? I guarantee you. Well, my boss is just a little bit mean. They all are. Well, I'm going to quit and I'm going to go get this other job. You know what God's going to do? Probably. He's going to give you a boss just like the other one. He's trying to teach you something. And he's like, hey, brother. God doesn't call you brother. He'll call you whatever he wants. He's like, son, you tried to run from there to there, and now I'm going to bring you over here. Same person, different look. Okay? It's an issue. We need to learn how to listen to authorities. See, we all have areas in our life where we are the authority. Where we are the authority, we want those under us to pay attention. But yet we don't want to pay attention to authority. You can't tell your children to listen to you because you're their authority when you come home and you criticize every authority you have. You're setting precedent. But you don't understand. That person, you know, they were mean to me. Okay, that's life. By the way, when you're mean to somebody or you have a bad day, do you want someone to cut you some slack? Why don't you cut them some slack? Okay? Long as they're not trying to kill you or make you do something that is contrary to God's word. But we just have this, no. We try to justify everything we do. Okay? The Bible tells us, listen to our authorities. Everybody wants to lead, no one wants to follow. By the way, here's a person that's a horrible employee, never listens to their boss, always gets in trouble, and they say, I'm going to go start my own business. Can I just tell you something? In most cases, if not every case, you don't have enough character to be your own boss. Okay? You don't. Because you didn't show it in that other job. If you're not a good worker under somebody, you're not going to be a good worker leading people or being your own boss. Because it's a character issue. But anyhow, we're getting off here. Look at the verses in Romans. God speaks about authority and submission. Okay? And this is God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Those are those who are over us. By the way, who was he writing to? People who were under what government? They initially read this. Yeah, they were not good in most cases. A soldier could take a Jewish citizen and say, hey, grab that bag. I don't feel like carrying it. You carry it a mile for me. That's what Jesus meant when he said, be a good Christian and show them you carry it the second mile. Okay, they could do that. So there were some issues there. But he says, listen, let the subject be subject to higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be, are ordained of God. What's I think in the book of Daniel, what's the phrase? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. They had wicked rulers. And you know what God said? Don't worry, I put them in charge. I know what's going on. By the way, let me just say this. I was so depressed November, whatever, 2008. Okay? And again, he said, it's not a racial thing. That's the only good thing about him being president, to be honest with you. He broke the color barrier. That's a good thing. And you know when you see him, he just looks like the right kind of guy. Like, man, I want to get under that guy. And then he starts talking. But you know what? Until he comes into my life and starts telling me to do things that violate God's word, he's my president. Now, I have a right to vote later and hope to get someone else in office. Okay? But you understand what I'm saying. This isn't a political thing, but my beef's not with him. Okay? And so I hope you get that. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Do you know most of the laws in this land are good land, are good laws? Okay? And look, there was a church I knew of. It was a big church in the 70s and early 80s. They decided they just felt people shouldn't pay taxes. They felt their employees shouldn't pay a penny of tax. So they fought the IRS on it. And what happened is the IRS took their building. Took it. Well, I have a brother. You had nothing. Pay your taxes, man. Now, if they say you can't preach the Bible in your church, let them take it. We'll meet on a street corner somewhere. But we have to. It's ridiculous. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. For the most part, most of the laws are supposed to be there to stop people that are going to hurt other people. Now they may now judges may not enforce them rightly. But that's for the most part. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. You ought to be afraid. If you're breaking the law, you ought to be afraid. Okay? And that's good. We need laws in society. Again, unless they tell us to violate God's law. And you read the verse there. The point is this. A rebel's a rebel. Okay? A rebel's a rebel. And so let's follow the proper authorities. And let's do what God wants us to do. A wise person, look, we're willing to submit because it's a chain of command God has ordained. So let's do that. Number 8. The wise person is a lifelong learner. He never arrives. Proverbs 1:5, we looked at it, earlier in the first one. But a wise man will hear and will increase what? Learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. They'll attain. They'll get there. They're striving for it. They're going to attain. They're going to get it. Okay? We need to constantly be growing and learning. Wisdom is not something tangible, something you acquire and you have it locked up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here's this goal. My goal is right here. And once I get it, aha, I got wisdom, I'm done. That doesn't work. It's a lifelong pursuit. By the way, you can study this Bible until you're blue. You could study this Bible 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for your whole life, and you'll scratch the surface. There's more in there than you'll ever get. Okay, and so let's continue to learn. We die in our Christian life when we quit learning. It's a constant growing process. We must increase. This is the character of all wise men. They never reach the place where they think they've learned it all. Never learned it all. I read a story, and it was talking to, I forget the man's name. He was a famous man, but he was talking to this 90-year-old guy. This man lived into his 90s, and he's like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm studying to learn this new language. Now I'm thinking, why would a guy in his 90s want to learn a new language? I mean, you know, he's probably you know, they say one foot in the grave, another in a banana peel. Man, he's learning a new language. He'll probably never use it, but you know, maybe that's why he lived to be 92. Just constantly growing, constantly. Whenever we check out mentally, we check out on God's word, we check out on becoming wiser, that's not God's plan for us. A person who is not wise will not listen and will not hear. Okay? Fools don't want to hear it. We talked about rebuke. They don't want to hear it. You ever see someone that they tune you out when you're talking to them? Usually that's your spouse, okay? You know, they hear you so much, you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. I could talk to my wife sometimes, and I know she's in the other time zone, and I'll just throw in like, oh, by the way, babe, I'm pregnant. Oh, great. Okay, maybe she believes it. I'm not sure. I heard that FDR, when he was president, you know, they would have receiving lines at the White House, and they'd have a long line of people, and they would hurry through and shake his hand, you know. And he said he got to the point where he knew a lot of people weren't listening. They just wanted to shake the president's hand as they were walking by. And, you know, he would say something to him. And he got in the habit sometimes when he thought people weren't listening, saying they'd shake his hand. He goes, hey, I killed my grandmother last night. And, you know, people would say, oh, thank you for saying, oh, thanks. Great. He's like, they're not listening. He said that one time, and a guy stopped and whispered in his ear and said, she probably deserved it. Okay? Now, he was listening, all right? But don't quit. Don't be like that. We hear the word of God, and then we apply it. Look at Proverbs 10:14. Wise men lay up knowledge. I mean, it's like they're gathering it as much as they can because they're laying it up. They're going to need it in the future. By the way, some of the things you learn, you say, you know, we talk about, boy, getting through tough times. You're like, I'm not going through a tough time right now. Maybe someday you will. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to remember what somebody said in a message. You're going to remember something you read in the Bible, a story you read in the Bible, and you're going to get encouragement out of that. You're laying it up for later. That's what the Bible wants. The fools are only interested, are more interested in what they want to say, what they think. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. They're not laying up, they just want to keep talking. And they're not laying up anything, and a bad day is coming for them. They're like the person you know who is just waiting for you to stop talking so that they can say what they want to say. You ever been with someone like that? You're talking to them, and you're having a conversation, and they're just waiting for you to get done so they can hop into something else. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's how a fool is. I don't want to hear what you want. I can't wait till I get my turn to tell you what I'm thinking. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and what will happen? He will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. By the way, you probably aren't going to grow by leaps and bounds. In other words, you know, if you've been a Christian for a while, you're not going to one day just hear all that. You grow. You just incrementally, constantly get a little bit here or there, and eventually, over a long period of time, do you know a little bit laid up for a long time ends up being a lot? You look back at your life and say, wow, I've come so far from where I was there. What happened? You increased a little bit at a time. And you look back and say, I'm a completely different person. I heard a story of an Indian king, and he loved to play chess. And so whenever someone would come to his kingdom, a nobleman or someone from somewhere else that he thought was a challenge, he would challenge him to a game of chess. And he usually won. And this other wise man came from another kingdom. He said, man, I'll challenge you to chess. He says, if you win, I'll give you whatever you want. And so the Indian king played him, and this time he lost. And he told the guy, he goes, I'll give you whatever you want. What do you want? He goes, here's what I want. He goes, I want you to put one grain of sand on the first little square of the checkerboard. And then every next square, just double it. So put one grain on the first square, two on the next, four on the third. And the king goes, that's an easy request. He said, go get a bag of rice. Got a bag of rice, and they started doing it. One here, two in the second, four in the third, eight in the fourth, 16 in the fifth. Before they were even halfway through the board, he realized by the time they got even halfway through the board, that would be over a billion grains of sand, of rice. He wouldn't have enough rice to ever fill that board. Little small things. We add them, we add them, we add them, we add them, and look at how much we grow. But, you know, a person that thinks, I've arrived, I don't need to learn anything. You know, we come to church and we don't listen. We're more interested in like, hey, can I slip my cell phone out and look at my cell phone during the service? I won't do it because I pulled it out on Sunday for that announcement about the Bible, and I got 6 phone calls and I got a text. Someone text, amen. Like, thank you. Okay, Dave Lucero, don't you dare call. Okay, I put my phone away. All right? But we don't want to hear from anybody. I can't learn from anybody. Guess what? Then that's fine. There's something we all need later on. If we don't need it now, we need it later. And so let's be wise. Let's keep growing. Let's not stop. Number 9. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I'm positive. This isn't an issue. The wise person has the ability to control their words. Actually, I think we're all doomed here. Let's go to number 10. Number 10. Just kidding. Yeah. We struggle. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Wanteth means lacketh. The more words there are, if a person talks a lot, there's no lack of sin coming out of their mouth. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now, I understand that some talk more than others. That's not what it's talking about, necessarily. And I met some people that only say 5 or 6 words, but 4 of them are pathetic. Okay? But the principle's there. A person that just talks to talk and they talk without thinking, they talk without wisdom, they just, you know, that's just how I am. There lacketh not sin. But a wise man refrain. By the way, also, we don't have to tell everybody what we think. Someone says something has nothing to do with you, but I got to throw my 2 cents in. Why? Keep the change. We don't want it. You know? You get involved, and it's like, I shouldn't have got involved. That was a bad thing. The more we talk, the more opportunity we have. We need to watch our words. Really, that's what's being said. Some can speak. You ever meet somebody? They can say a lot of words, but they say so little. There's nothing in what they say. And some people, they can say just a little, but man, what they got to say, it's a lot. Because they measure their words. We need to watch our words. That's what he's saying. There was President, I think I used this before in here, President Calvin Coolidge, president in the early part of the 20th century, which was 1900s, he was a president that was known for just not talking very much. And so someone came up one time, was shaking his hand. He goes, hey, I bet my friend $10 I can get you to say more than 2 words. And Calvin Coolidge looked at him and says, you lose. That was it. He just didn't talk much. Someone has said it's better to be quiet and have people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, right? Now, that's not in the Bible. I looked in Proverbs. It's not there. Now, I'm not saying some people talk more than others. That's fine. I'm just saying we need to measure our words. Look at Proverbs 12:8. Even when we do talk, can we control what we say? Proverbs 12:8 says this, there is that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Think about that. What he's saying in this verse, our words can either be hurtful or they can be healthful. We don't understand, and maybe the way we grew up sometimes, the power that our words have on people. Now, some people have the ability to hear something that's negative and to be able to kind of blow it off, if you know what I'm talking about. Like someone says something to you, but can I just tell you, most people can't, particularly the younger they are. Hurtful words pierce the other person. I mean, just the pierce is like, it hurts. I know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, we tell our kids that, but it's a lie. It does hurt. That's what the Bible says. How do a parent who is loose towards their children? By the way, I was reading that Lee Harvey Oswald, who killed President John F. Kennedy, his mom was a very abusive parent, and particularly towards him, verbally. Just constantly berated him. How'd that turn out for him? Not very well. Now, I'm not saying if you say one thing wrong to your kid, they're going to go, you know, murder a bunch of people. But you don't know what you're doing to those children when you are constantly. And as spouses, don't we know how to push that button? Yeah. Everybody has a button. That one thing that just gets under a person's skin, right? And so we have a, because this is the other church down the street. They told me some of the people in their church have disagreements, the couples. I heard about this because I never hear about it here. And like, you know, and so what they'll do is I'm going to get back at that person. I'm going to bring up something that has nothing to do with that, that makes that person mad. What about this? You just press a red button. You just made something that shouldn't have been an issue a big deal. Now, on the other hand, we need to learn how to keep our mouths shut. We had a guy in Bible college. We had a carpool. And man, we Bible college, we slept about 4 or 5 hours a night. That was it. We were always tired. We were always on edge. We were going to college, working full-time on the weekends. It was bad. Not bad, it was a blessing. But, you know, you're not sleeping a lot. You get cranky, especially our group. We work third shift. And so we go to work, and there was one guy in the car, and he did it in Christian love, of course. He tried to find something he would say that would irritate you, like a little name he'd call you, jokingly, of course. And if he knew it bothered you, he'd keep picking at it. And I don't know how many times I was in the car, and he'd say something to me, and I'd like, my ears would turn red. But I'm like, oh, hey, that's funny. Because I knew if I let him know it irritated me, I was going to hear it forever. Now, one of the guys in the car was having a really bad day, and we got out of the car, and he said something to him again, and all I know is he tackled him, and they were in the snow. And so after about 10 minutes, we broke it up. But we do that sometimes. We know that, especially the more we know somebody. Let's not do that. That doesn't help. The person who is mean-spirited to coworkers, how many of you have someone like that? They don't know the Lord, and so because they don't know the Lord, by the way, I hope you're not that one, all right? But sometimes there's people, I had them when I worked at the warehouse. They knew I was a Christian. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't really like working there and stuff, and just always trying to be negative, and you just kind of had to let it go, okay? On the other hand, a good word may be just what they needed. I'll never forget this story. Never forget it. There was a guy that worked in the warehouse with us. I won't give you his name, but and this guy was one of those guys. Negative. He'd come into work. He'd cuss at us. He'd call you a cuss word just because you were a Christian. He didn't like the Christians. And we got over it. You know, we let it go. And one night, he was in a very foul mood. And several of the guys came up. And one of the guys like, this guy's trying to start a fight. He's just being really over the top. You know, we were joking around like, man, one of us ought to just like, you know, let him push us first or something. We were joking around. One of the Christian guys there that had been there for a while, he came up to some of us and said, I found out what the issue is. He just found out his child has some kind of heart problem and his boy's going in for heart surgery tomorrow and he doesn't know how to handle it. So this man who had a little wisdom, we were thinking about, can we just get him in the parking lot for a few minutes? He went to him and said, I know you're not a Christian. I know you don't like any of this stuff. Would you mind after work? We can do it privately so no one sees it. Can we all get together with you and pray for your son's heart surgery? The guy said, yeah. We took up a little offering for him. His son survived the heart surgery, and we took up a little offering for him, and we bought his son a gift. But you know what? We would have blown it because he was having a bad day. And so as a Christian, well, what about my rights? You know what? What about your right to be an encouragement? You never know what you're going to say is going to help somebody that's really struggling. And so let's work on our words. Anybody can be a discourager. It takes somebody to be an encourager. Look at Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Proverbs 17:28, we already mentioned this. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his mouth is esteemed a man of understanding. And then look at the book of James. For in many things we offend all. That's, by the way, that shouldn't be your life verse, okay? He's talking about a problem we have. It's not an encouragement to follow, if you know what I'm talking about. Go around offend. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If you read the whole book of James chapter, if you read all of chapter 3, it's talking about the tongue. And here's what James is saying about the tongue. He says that the tongue is the key to having self-control over every area of your life. You say, wow, how does that work? Because the tongue's the hardest thing to have the self-control with. You know, if you slay the giant, you're probably going to slay everybody else. And if you can control your mouth, you'll have enough self-control to deal with some of these other areas. You'll almost always notice someone who has a serious lack of self-control cannot control what they say almost every time. And so work on it. Number 10, and this will be our last one for tonight. Is that the last one on your list? Well, hey, there you go. We're going to work it nicely. The wise person will win others to Christ. The fruit of the righteous, says Proverbs 11:30, is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. If you have been a Christian for any amount of time, if you've been in the church for any amount of time, you've heard the importance of sharing the gospel with other people. You have. That's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. What's the fruit of a Christian? Well, there's the fruit of our life, of course, but you know what else there is? There's the fruit of other Christians that we win to the Lord. Other Christians we encourage. Maybe we're not good at it, or we brought them to church and they got saved at church. That's what God wants us to do. It's our responsibility that God has commanded to all Christians. A person who is wise will put this simple principle into practice in obedience to what our Lord tells us. You know, if we're going to share the good news of what Christ did for us, it doesn't require great intellect. It doesn't mean we need to be a smooth talker, a great salesman, or a great communicator. You know why? Because according to Romans chapter 1, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not me. I don't win anybody to the Lord. You know, we used to do the soul winning bus. We'd have testimonies coming back, and someone would win their first soul and say, "Hey, I saved somebody tonight." I'm thinking, man, I can't save anybody. And if I saved them, they are in trouble. Okay? Jesus saves them. And I understand what they're saying. That's what we need to do. I heard a great story. There was a missionary in Africa. They reached a blind lady. And this blind lady had been in church a little bit, and she heard about the gospel, and afterwards the pastor came by to see her. She gave him her Bible. She said, I want you to circle or highlight John 3:16 for me in the Bible. She said, and then I want you to mark the page in such a way that I can feel and always get to John 3:16. And so the pastor did that. She took off, and he was wondering what she was going to do, so he followed her. She went down to a school in Africa where the children were coming out, and as she came out, she would call, and a boy came to her. And she handed the boy, "Take the Bible, son." And she had it flipped open. She goes, "Read that verse that's highlighted or circled." I forget which one. And as the boy read the verse, "For God so loved the world," he said, "Son, do you know what that means? What is that talking about?" The little boy said, "I don't know." And she goes, "Let me explain it to you." And the pastor said, the missionary there said, "Explain it to her," and the boy got saved. She said that was her habit. She would do that all the time. This missionary who spent many years in the mission field said that when he left the mission field many years later, he knew personally of 24 children, men, that she had won to the Lord as boys at that school that were now pastoring churches in Africa. Simply because this blind lady said, "I'm going to do what I can." We're supposed to win souls. We're supposed to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 4:19. This is a verse we used during our Operation Go. And he said unto them, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It's not Operation Go, it's one by one. If you were in one by one, you heard how we explained that. Jesus told them to follow, and he would make them fishers of men. So according to Christ, if we follow him, we will be fishers of men. If we are not fishers of men, then let me ask this question. And you can ask it, look at the verse, are you really following him? He said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I don't think it's just for those guys. I think he meant it for everybody. That's why it's in the Bible. So if we're not trying to be a fisher of men, are we really following Jesus Christ? Now, it's not up to us to save the person. Jesus does that. You know what we're responsible for? Our responsibility is just share the news. And if they don't listen, we've done our job. But you know what happens? If we go out in obedience and share the news, you know what will happen? Someone will get saved eventually. The gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Someone will get saved. People have a tendency to talk about that which is important to them. If you ever want to have a conversation with somebody and they don't like to talk, find out what they like. You know? I was at George. George Ospina gave me a jacket for my birthday. It has the Kings on it. I like hockey. I like the Kings. I like the Ducks too. And it just, and so I was at the, I'm at Kohl's with my wife, and I got the Kings jacket on. And so I'm walking down the aisle, you know, we're walking. I think we're going to check out. And this big guy comes. I go, oh, yeah, hey, man, fist pump. I'm like, okay, man. Boom, big guy, you know. Like, hey, man, cool to you too, baby. And my wife's like, man, what was that all about? I'm like, obviously, he's a Kings fan. He obviously liked the jacket. That's why, because he was looking at it. Now, he had a Patriots hat on, so he probably wasn't saved. Well, no, I know he wasn't saved. But you know what? If I would have went to that guy and I would have said, hey, let's talk about the New England Patriots, he would have been all over it because that's important to him. People talk about that which is important to them. Can I say something? We're lifting him up this year. If Jesus is important to us, why don't we just introduce him to somebody? Okay? Don't be afraid to tell people, I'm a Christian. By the way, that's okay. They might get mad. Be nice to them. They'll get over it. Just say, you know, I just go to church. I love Jesus Christ. You know, not trying to be rude to you. You'd be shocked, though. When people at your work find out, some of those people that have a hard time, they're going to come up to you sometime. Say, man, I'm going through a difficult thing. You know, what's it? And you talk to them. But if we want to be wise, we can't leave that out. Because it's a part of the Bible Jesus told us to obey, and we're supposed to tell people about him. And so let's be wise and share Christ.